Today we come to the end of the church calendar, the liturgical calendar. We celebrate that Christ is King. We celebrate the reign of Christ, and that sometimes even in spite of how it might seem. Next Sunday we turn once again to the beginning of the story with Advent, where we retell and remember the story of the one who was sent to save us. But today we end with the King, a King who in many ways is not the King we expect. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we come into this place to hear some good news, to receive grace, to feast at your table, and to remember that in spite of how it might seem sometimes, that you are indeed Lord of all creation. Startle us with this good news. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, Lord, our God, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. So Jesus is standing before Pilate, the governor of the Roman Empire. You see, he had just been arrested and was brought before Pilate because his accusers didn't have the authority to condemn him to death, but they were very keen on seeing him dead. He was stirring up trouble and causing way too many problems for them. And so they brought him before Pilate to do the deed. Pilate approaches Jesus, and the first question he asks, "Are you the King of the Jews?" These days we tend to divorce our faith from the practical realities and relationships inherent in human communities. And so we have difficulty hearing this for what it is, a political question. As Pilate asks it, it's not a spiritual question or really even a faith question. It's a political question. Pilate wants to know if Jesus views himself as the leader of a movement that will set up a rival kingdom to that of the empire. Because if so, that's reason enough to sentence him to death. So what's your answer? Are you a king? "My kingdom is not from this world," Jesus replied. "If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." You have to wonder what Pilate is thinking at this moment. Not of this world? Not from here? Literally, what on earth are you talking about? And you see, I think for many of us, we were raised in traditions that taught us that when Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world," he's obviously talking about some other place than here, probably heaven up there. As in, Jesus' kingdom is in heaven and is not of this world. And when understood this way, it's not that hard to get all the way to Jesus' kingdom having nothing to do with the worldly kingdom of which Pilate and his accusers are a part. It's completely separate from that. But I think we've misunderstood and misinterpreted this phrase, "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from here." As one person put it, the statement of Jesus has often been interpreted, or misinterpreted rather, to suggest an individualized, otherworldly piety divorced from real life, personal, social, interpersonal, political, and public. But that's not what is going on here. The way of Jesus of Nazareth is about how we live our lives individually and collectively, personally and publicly. And so when Jesus says to Pilate, "If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews." When Jesus says this, he's not talking about a geographic location for his kingdom. Jesus is saying that the ways of his kingdom are not the ways of the world. He is not drawing a distinction between heaven and earth. He is talking about a way of life, a way for life, another way of living. And if he and his followers were of this world, this way of living, then of course they would use the primary tools this world provides for establishing and keeping power: violence. But Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. And so Jesus will not defend himself through violence or establish his claims through fear. Those are the tactics of empire. Those are the tools of those who conspire to kill Jesus. That's the way of this world, not the way of my kingdom. But it was more than just violence and fear that killed Jesus. The ways of this world are marked by more than violence and fear. On a far deeper level, Bishop Michael Curry writes, "If you ask the question, what forces and dynamics in human life and society actually conspired to kill Jesus, something else emerges. Jesus was killed by a conspiracy of self-interest, self-centeredness, greed, jealousy, political and economic corruption, religious narrow-mindedness and intolerance, individual cowardice, bigotry, hatred, and indifference. What our biblical tradition actually calls sin. Sin," Curry continues, "is selfishness. Sin is self-centered existence, and that self-centered existence left untethered makes no room for anyone else. And in the end, that this selfish existence has the capacity to actually destroy life itself. My kingdom is not from here." You see, our tradition tells us that Jesus' kingdom, the reign of Christ, is marked not by self-centeredness or self-interest, but love. Not greed or jealousy, but love. Not violence or hatred or indifference, but love. And love is other-directed. Whereas sin asks, "What's in it for me?" love asks, "What is the greatest good possible? What is good? What is just? What is fair? What is kind? What is merciful? What is compassionate?" God is love, the author of John writes later on. My kingdom is not from here. And I fear that in Pilate's world, and yes, even in our world, all of this talk of the greatest good, all of this talk of kindness and mercy and fairness, all of this talk of love, I fear it all comes across as either liberal propaganda or sentimental and soft, as weakness, as foolishness even. As Frederick Buechner wrote, "To pray for your enemies, to worry about the poor when you have worries enough of your own, to start becoming yourself fully by giving yourself prodigally to whoever needs you, to love your neighbors as yourself when an intelligent fourth grader could tell you that the way to get ahead in the world is to beat your neighbors to the draw every chance you get." That was what this King Jesus asked of us, this foolish king, who shortly before his life was taken from him on a cross, said to his disciples in the upper room, "I give you a new commandment. Love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." Knowing that he would soon be betrayed and handed over to selfishness, Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now abide in my love. For greater love has no one than this, but that they give up their life for their friends." and I call you my friends. As Bishop Curry said, this way of love that Jesus teaches as he is about to give up his life is not sweet, soft, or sentimental. This way of love is the way of living that is unselfish, sacrificial, seeking the good and the welfare of others before my own unenlightened self-interest. This way of love is a game changer. It's a game changer in our personal lives. It's also a game changer in our social life, our political life, our economic life, and in the global life of the world. And it's this way of love that marks Jesus' reign, this way of self-giving love that is at the center of God's kingdom. It's this way of love that the Apostle Paul called the foolishness of our proclamation, because he understood how it sounds in a world marked by the ways of selfishness. But could there be a more necessary message for us in these days? We live in a world dominated by the view that the only answer to selfishness is more selfishness. To greed is more greed. To exclusion is more exclusion. To violence is more violence. And the end result of that view is death. But as followers of a very different king, yes, perhaps even a foolish king in the eyes of this world, we bear witness to the limits of these tactics. And with our lives and our foolish proclamation, we point to a power that is made real through weakness on the cross. Strength that is made real through vulnerability, justice that is made real through mercy, life that is made real through love. As Martin Luther King has written, the ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie, nor establish the truth. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate. So it goes. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. So are you a king? Pilate asked Jesus. My kingdom is not from here. Thanks be to God. Amen.